says, she came to me on time. I didn't recognize her. One of our better dogs.
Well, they made a lot of strides since then, too. That's tough.
How'd you cope afterwards?
It was rough.
Yeah, the children were young, weren't they? Mm-hmm.
Very young. Barbara just finishing, was just left for college up. She went to Michigan that following September.
Mm-hmm.
So now here I'm wandering with two kids at home. And,
high school children.
They weren't in high school, they were young then.
Oh, were they?
One wasn't even bar mitzvah, you said.
No, Michael was just Michael wasn't bar mitzvah, kind of thing, about a year before. They were just about ready for high school, that's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. How'd you manage then?
I did a bad job at the beginning. A very bad job.
What do you mean?
I made mistakes. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to cope with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I should have done it. I had my self-control, too.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks to the mountains, I'm really lovely now and beautiful. It took me a couple years. Boy.
There wasn't that much help either, was there, at that time?
I couldn't get help because, first of all, living hell was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I bring one in, 2 days later I say I had to get rid of her. Somebody went along with her, or Claire didn't get along with her. Michael was easy going, but Barbara was there, so Claire was my problem, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't take any loaning from anybody.
Well, she probably still.
Well, she, of all the kids, I think she might have been hurt the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Not even knowing it happened to her, because she was only 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You must remember her mother was sick for 2 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, badly sick, hospital every day or something.
Today we have so much information about single fathers and, you know, single parent families and things like that. But then there, I'm sure it was, there was hardly anyone to talk to. Did you have any?
No, I had no advice.
Yeah.
Who was talking to me? I'm not sure I would take it if I'd talk to anyone.
I see.
Plus you were busy at your store at that point.
Well, I had a rough time. 1957, my father got sick. He died in 1959. 1956, I had a peritonitis I wasn't supposed to come back from, and I did. 1959, I think, for all this, my father died. I also have another cancer on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And she suffered for about 3 or 4 years with it. Oh, yeah, a few more things I had over there. Whatever, if it all happened, I know.
At one time.
Mm-hmm. I lost a little control. But I think it back.
You survived.
When did your business start expanding?
1938, I opened our second store in 1938.
The second store?
Yeah.
Where was the second store?
East Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You probably remember Penn and Whitfield.
Yeah, that was before East Liberty was remodeled.
Oh, yeah, there was no damage.
Roseanne's not from Pittsburgh, so.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but I remember all that. Sure, and was it called? What was it called at that time?
No, first name was Jitterbug Record Mart.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. The first name, the one downtown?
Jitterbug. By the time we got out there, we changed the name, the National Record Mart.
Uh-huh.
And held ever since.
And the two stores downtown were called Jitterbug?
Only one downtown.
Just one. What, were one in East End?
No, by the time we got there, we had changed the name.
I see, okay. Became National Record Mart.
And where did you go from there? How often were you expanding? I don't know how many stores there are now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not there now.
That's right. Then it changed again.
No, no, it's held
to Oasis. No,
that's just a branch. That's all.
Okay. All right. Will you give us the history of the business?
All right. Before I got home, my father would come in to help out. Open a third store on Smithfield Street.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been 1945. From then on, I don't know, one after the other. So, we wound up in about 75 store areas.
Many? 75?
Mm-hmm.
Or what area is that?
8 states.
Which states are they?
Everybody surrounding here. Virginia, West Virginia, New York, Ohio, Kentucky.
New Jersey?
No.
Not that way.
And?
No. What do you have there?
One, two, three, four, five. Three more.
Pedal towards Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right. Okay. South. Kentucky, Tennessee.
Again,
Carolinas.
Kentucky, Kentucky?
Yeah. Carolinas.
Indiana.
Okay.
Illinois.
Oh, that way. That's eight. Very good. So that was kind of the largest expansion.
Now,
and what years were those? When it was at its height? Like from the, let's see, it must have been from the during the 70s?
60s, 70s. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that must be the late 60s. Say like 1968 till... When did...
1968 is about right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Till
so
1980 or something?
86 we sold it.
Okay. Now, is that when you sold it at the 75 stores? Is that... Okay.
The Oasis stores are just a wing to fight competition in case it comes up.
Okay. Just a branch, I thought. So it actually was never... National Record Mark converted into Oasis. Okay.
I changed the name, not NRM Plus. I don't know. That's smart enough. But there was some of those cases coming. At that time, we had a Not Goody out.
Yeah, right. Sam Goody in New York.
I taught Larry about that when we started with Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little pieces and knocked him out of here.
I see. Yeah, that's right. I remember that. They opened, they tried to come into that market. Well, that's interesting. Did you travel a lot during that time?
To the store, oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
I used to come back from Florida, and I'd go west, and I'd come through Kentucky, West Virginia, mm-hmm. which is part of Virginia, Indiana, Illinois, and I'd come back. It took me a week and a half to get home.
Yes, I can imagine.
Was there a lot of competition for the National Record Mart? Or were you the only ones when you started? But there must have been others.
Well, along the line, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I just mentioned Sam Goody and Peaches,
right.
And so on, and there have been a number of other ones that came along.
Mm-hmm.
But we always ran a pretty good store. Totally immature. That's not their policy, not from what I could see. But I always believe that if it's available, you're going to get it here.
Mm-hmm.
So my turnover was less, so it was less.
I'm curious to know how people did business in those days when you had so many stores before all the electronic things that we have today, like computers and fax machines.
We did the same thing, except we did it by hand.
I see. And mostly telephone.
Telephone and paper.
Did you...
my inventory control didn't change because of computers, but I had computers for a long time.
I see.
But
would you say you were one of the earliest companies to have?
Oh, I've been a very long time. I controlled in the 60s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I had was punch cards. It might be before the election. Before
that's right. That was the predecessor.
Who was that? That was
I'll think of it.
Around the corner.
Yeah.
And they shaved
it. I can't think of it. Yeah. Remington?
Hmm?
Yeah. IBM Remington.
No, Remington.
It was something.
Oh, no, whatever. Mm-hmm. They were the cards. You know, some of them.
Mm-hmm. How did it work? Did you franchise them out?
No franchise. Totally owned.
And would you say that doing business in the 60s and 70s was different than in the 80s?
Oh yeah, completely different.
In what way?
Well, first of all, every customer was handled by a clerk in the early part.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't approach the customers, you walked in the door, you got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can walk and wander for 15 minutes and we'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was different because, of course, sales costs were lower, so you could afford to do it. But once the cost of the wages doubled almost in time, it became a problem. You've got to see a couple of department stores out for a
while. Mm-hmm. Sounds very time consuming. Did you have time for other things outside of working? Something like this?
I worked a lot of hours, but I played a lot too.
What kinds of things were you involved in outside of work?
Wow!
I know.
That was the best part. Now, what could it be?
Well, in the record
so
business,
well?
Are, the big shots from in the towns, you go to dinner, you carry on, you get drunk a little bit.
You mean the Stars or the record company
well,
executives?
Well, Stars came in, but they didn't associate too much. A number of times I have. I can imagine there wasn't anybody on records up until 1965 or 70 that I didn't know almost by name back and forth.
Can you give us some names?
Oh, my God.
Let's see. I mean, like Frank Sinatra? Or?
He's the one. And Bing, those two I never met.
Okay.
Yeah. That's about the only one.
Dean Martin?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
The, I don't know, gasping for names.
Edie Gourmet and what's your husband's
Steve
name?
Steve.
Steve Lawrence. Steve
Lawrence, right.
You know where they met?
Mm-mm.
You remember the Art Fallon program?
Yes. It was on KDK radio.
No, before that. That was that one.
No.
That was the biggest radio station, record radio program in the country. And they all came there because they could make a record in 3 days, 4 days.
No kidding.
That's fact. And Edie Gourmet came in one time with the Blaine Boys, with Manny here at that time. And I don't remember who was with Steve Lawrence, but that's where they met.
At WWSW?
No, at we had
at your store?
We had store broadcast. Remember, he had Art Powell in the store. You had to rotate all the stores, a week in every store.
Oh, isn't that
there would be a broadcast.
Before the first one of those two, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Portable equipment we moved in the store and lines in all the stores. Anyway, we got the main store, Liberty. And you can't mention an artist that I don't think was in my program. I never have it. I never made a log of it. I should have, but I didn't.
Yes, you did. And pictures? Do you have any pictures
with
some of these?
I don't know whether I even had a bone. You know.
Love to have some of those if you have. If you don't want to give them to anybody, we'd be happy to take them and put them in your portfolio.
I don't even know where they are.
That's an important part of Pittsburgh history. That was during a...
Oh, yeah. We bought the Beatles in 1965.
It's Pittsburgh.
Yeah. My daughter was photographed with them. They made the front page of the press with her, swooning for the Beatles. Barbara.
Were they in your store?
No. I didn't bother to see them.
That must have been sort of exciting, you know, having the record program right in the store.
Oh, yeah, we used to drop crap.
I can imagine.
King Cole came in.
Yeah.
And we opened the store pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it was Shellac Records. It was before the 45.
Mm-hmm.
When we swept up the floor, and the little black girls got in, they climbed all over those records and crushed them.
Oh.
There must have been 25 bushel baskets of broken records
ago. Oh, my.
And unidentified, completely to dust.
Oh,
but it was I remember one time Gene Autry was in there with the...
Not with the horse. Now, don't tell me he brought
but
the
I'll
horse.
But I'll tell you what happened with the horse. Pat White was the horseman, the horse cop. We used to have horse police there.
Yeah, yeah.
The place was so mobbed. Oh, well, that was King Cole after one of the other. He came in with a horse and broke the crowd up.
Oh, inside the store. Oh, that's amazing.
Pat White.
He must have some wonderful stories about all these different stars that were there.
Dean Martin, every time I saw him, he was drunk. And I mean, not kidding.
Is that for
and
real?
One time I saw him at the Union Town, you know, my club out there?
Summit is the only
Summit.
Thing.
No, not Summit. Another one. Anyway, it was a big club. Mm-hmm. And he was there.
Chuck Teamers. That wasn't Union Town.
No. He went through in the back of the scene. He looked like the most lonesome person I've seen in my life. He'd sit there by himself, and it was pathetic. I've never gotten that picture in my mind of how badly he got tired, how he looked.
Hmm.
Only stay there. That's all he wanted you to do. He didn't.
Yeah. I see. He wanted you to drink with him.
I would think so.
Uh huh. Hmm. How long did that last with the record?
For the broadcast.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
1946.
Mm-hmm.
I owned the program for about 10 years.
What made you stop it? It sounds like it was a wonderful program.
It pushed me off the air. It must have been yours.
Mm-hmm.
It took it away from me. It was a very popular program, and I owned the time, and they couldn't sell it.
Mm-hmm.
That was on WWSW.
Yeah. They couldn't sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were losing all the money. I had an hour and a half a day. So I had a block.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I gave them 15 minutes breaks.
Mm-hmm.
On either side of the 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did anybody mention that it was sort of self-interest, that the fact that you owned that you know, that you sponsored a record program that promoted these records so that people would buy the records, you know, that cycle. Or in those days, that, people didn't say that.
That's against the law, what you just said. What I was doing might have been against the law.
At that time, it certainly wasn't.
Well, see, I owned the time.
So you could put anything into it.
But I couldn't go to a disc jockey and give him $50 to play the record for me every day like I did on my own program.
I see.
Paid for the time. It's a little different.
That's different than what was called payola.
Questionable, because you're doing something in public here that may be contrary to the benefit of the public or some other record dealer someplace else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still where it can go.
Yeah, and that sort of died out a little bit, and although it's coming back.
Well, there's plenty of it now.
Payola, you mean?
Oh,
yeah.
The cocaine. And
they pay off in different ways.
But that time was cash.
Mm-hmm.
The names are water.
Yeah, that's and okay. Porky Chedwick and all those guys.
Porky, you know them.
Yeah.
They all had their hands up. Oh. Jay Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
That's that Jewish boy on WJS. Good looking guy.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Okay. Were there national organizations associated with this, the record business?
There is a, yeah, sure there is.
Were you involved in that at all?
I belong to it, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your Jewish involvement at that time and how we came to...
Well, 1946, when I came with the Army, I had seen the displaced persons, I said, and I knew that they had to get money together to get those people to Israel, someplace,
mm-hmm.
before the State of Israel. So I went to the UJA, UJF at that time, UJA at that time, yeah. And I think I got active with the downtown, a branch, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And Manny, what's the name of the award we got? Manny who?
Spector, yeah. Emmanuel Spector.
He was head of the thing. And we used to walk around for $10 bills and be glad to get them.
Mm-hmm. You mean you'd solicit the other businessmen downtown?
We walked every store, every building, every house. And mm-hmm. if I got $25, it was time to stop and have a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
$10 bill.
And this was to send to help the DPs?
Well, that's what the money was going for. At that time, there wasn't supporting a hospital and everything else in the world. It was all going to Israel.
Is that right? Well, there was no Israel in 1947.
For the displaced, for however they got in the cross.
Yeah.
And I stayed with that until it got a little rough there. They tried getting like there and now. They started criticizing too many people. They started talking about them in the meeting. Well, they should be doing this, and why aren't they doing that?
Mm-hmm.
You can afford more, why don't you get more?
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Did you solicit only Jews?
We tried to, yeah, that's all.
Non-Jews there. Nobody was interested.
And then, of course, there were the Zionists for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to Israel very often?
Oh, yeah, I've been about 10 times.
Mm-hmm. When was your first time? What years?
1968.
Okay. Let's see, that was now my Israeli history. that was after a war. 67
after
war.
67 war,
okay.
They got Jerusalem at that point.
Mm-hmm. What was it like? What was your impression of Israel?
It's very nice. I like the place. I remember that we flew in there. The airport wasn't anything like now, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of kids on that plane, and there was a bunch of kids were waiting for them. They were kids who were making a something. And they started seeing Shalom Aleichem. Boy, they broke you up.
Uh-huh.
They broke you up.
I understand that still. Yeah, that still happens if they start singing on the plane.
The airport's too big now. There's too much control. There was a little wire across you. You jumped across the wire. You were in Israel.
Oh, I see. There wasn't tight security?
No, not them.
Whoops. What did you do in Israel, particularly? Just regular tourist thing?
Tourist, yes.
Uh-huh. And then, over the years, did you meet any of the government officials?
No, I've been there a number of times when they were there, but I never went as
on the missions.
Mission.
I see.
Howie, I was there with Howie, and Howie's on a mission. I went to a different hotel. I didn't want to do that because they tie up too much. They want the contribution. How is there to make it? And, mm-hmm. I didn't have to be there. Of course, I missed the advantage of the deducting. It was deductible, but I didn't. But we've been associated, the three of us, in I would say every organization in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten an award partner from every organization in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Without exception.
Now, do you share the interest of Howard and the Soviet Jews?
They'll tell them to stop going. I was just in Russia.
Oh, you yourself?
But I was locked up. I couldn't do a damn thing. And not that I would have. I'm the much bigger city. He's crazy.
How do you mean locked up?
Well, I didn't have a visa. I was on a boat, and I had a mass visa. So I couldn't just go get a cab and go someplace.
I had to
stay over here for 2 days. So I got to the, what do you call it, the big museum there, Hermitage.
Mm-hmm.
That I should have skipped. Then they took us to some summer castle. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We should have skipped that too. We're better off walking around the street. I didn't talk to too many people. I wanted to, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
People there spoke English or what?
Well, I didn't get to talk to too many people. Our guide spoke English, the one we had. Anyway, we had a funny story. The ship docked. There was a big building across from us. There was a man, two men standing up there.
Mm-hmm.
The man's on us, she'd go like this. She responded.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't respond. And several times to say, well, that people, no response.
Hmm.
They're afraid to talk.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when you say Howard is crazy about going to Russia.
He does things that shouldn't be done, that's the reason. And,
in what manner?
Well, he could go to Siberia, okay?
I see.
Carries things in that shouldn't be done. Not that they're illegal things. That they're
well, he's not the only one.
He doesn't go there to sell them. Gives them to him.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not doing anything wrong, but meantime, that's a crime.
Mm-hmm. In Russia.
And he makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Now they have a spot. They must know his name since his dinner.
Well, that's what always has amazed me, that they know what the Americans are doing, and yet they kind of look the other way.
The funny story he told me is
they may harass you, but...
They went through his luggage. He had everything in that room, but they come across some big lighters.
Mm-hmm.
Box them. They're three for a dollar?
Something like that. Big lighters.
So they cost all $4 or $5 for a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
What is this there? Lighters. What do you mean? What do you do with lighters? What do you do with lighters? He said, the thing doesn't cost anything. What do you mean it doesn't cost anything? They're valuable. He said, take them and keep them. Goodbye. Let me out of here. That's all he wanted.
Oh, isn't that
one of the
but he told those lighters, he gave a friend a lighter who was traveling, who worked for the government.
Uh-huh.
He said, this lighter will give me a nice lodging in a hotel.
No,
a cab driver will take you all over Moscow for a lighter.
A lighter. That's interesting. Now, let's get to more recent activities. you're now retired, is that correct?
Totally.
Okay, and that was, when did you, in 1986 you sold?
Did you sell it?
Okay.
There's some involved investors. There's some Pittsburghers involved, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a group.
Yeah, Leverett Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it? Are they still running the business? Sort of out of it.
Yeah,
the record.
They're out there. They're running.
There are national...
They have 100 stores right now.
They do. Okay. I know we have still one on Forbes Avenue.
Yes.
I know my kids patronize that all the time.
Yeah.
But you do. And how do you feel about it? Is it like...
I miss it.
You do?
I miss it terribly.
Uh-huh.
What kinds of things do you do to keep busy now that you're retired?
I'm a heavy stamp collector.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I normally walk in the morning, so I face the morning, but I haven't done it lately.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get there, I'll be walking in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
One kid for me. What else?
Do you have any other... some people leave one career and sometimes pick up another one.
I can't. If I go to Florida for 6 months, who needs me here?
Mm-hmm.
I've had... Frank wanted me to come back to the nice restaurant and come again, because I can't get any used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I
see.
What about your children? Did they take an interest in the record business?
My son. But when we sold out, he had to go too. They keep any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we wanted, but...
Mm-hmm. So he had worked with you then?
Yes, he's a pretty good record man, too.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do now?
Right now, he's having graduated Penn State with high honor in chemistry, and is an agronomist. Mm. He's now rebuilding Mercedes-Benz.
And what do your daughters do?
My daughter's a chiropractor.
That's interesting.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans?
Yeah. You from there?
No.
Oh. Where are you from?
Tennessee.
It's even that further.
Vanderbilt.
Nashville, right.
Mm-hmm.
About a mile from Vanderbilt.
My youngest daughter, as I said, she got hurt worse. Her husband and I are going to Ithaca to Cornell, to the doctor in horticulture.
Oh, that's interesting.
I got all the oligoisous jobs.
Well,
agronomy
it's
and horticulture.
That's okay. Somebody has to do it.
That's right.
Ron had a paper that I gave to the head of the agriculture ministry of Israel to take care of the Negev in that family way. And it was the paper circulated. He went to Penn State at the time
mm-hmm.
in his master's program.
That's your son-in-law, Ron.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Kaplan.
Uh-huh. K or C?
K.
Okay.
And he, this paper circulated all the guys, even in Russia, they took the paper.
That's interesting.
I can't think of his name, the minister.
Do you have grandchildren?
Oh, yeah. Two boys, two girls.
What are the names?
My son has two girls, Aaron and Lauren. Daughter, that's my youngest daughter. There's two boys,
mm-hmm.
Jeremy and Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like things turned out all right,
said that. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
It progressed, and took me a while to catch on. But first of all, I found out that you can demand and you can't command.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Had you been very involved in your home life before your wife died, or was
pretty
this very
yeah.
sudden?
But about after she died, I mean. We got lined up a little bit. And they were running around and they were smoking a little pot. I said, now look, you want to smoke pot in this house in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't smoke right away from here.
Speaking. Well, it was a difficult time to bring up children.
Well, that's where I got very lucky. And the thing those kids of mine have done, and there were some bad things,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was home. You got a problem, I'll be there first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be behind you. Not against you. So you come to me right away. Don't you tell back.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out okay.
How did they react to you marrying your second wife?
Very well. Very well.
So that was 4 years later, you said?
Four and a half years later.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they get along with beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
All three of them.
Could you bring out the paper about the award? I want to talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
I have to refresh my memory. We have this notice that you were honored by the American Jewish Committee.
Yeah.
That was here in Pittsburgh.
No, New York.
That was in New York. Okay. And when was that? It says November 4th, February 4th
yeah.
was 1988. Is that right?
I'll show you back here.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that was, it says, let's see, one of two honorees to receive the Human Relations Award
yeah.
In recognition of his efforts to overcome prejudice and bigotry. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Have you been active in the American Jewish Committee, or what exactly was that about?
I've not been active there. I was called and asked if they'd pick it for the first year or
mm-hmm.
two sometimes. They chose me. Here I am.
Well,
at first I was going to turn it down and Jason, don't you dare.
No, it's very nice. But would you say that overcoming prejudice and bigotry were in your business relations and hiring?
We hire blacks all the time. We've always been.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we didn't stay just with Jewish kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a sermon. If you work for us, we have 1,700 people working for us at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them, if they're with us for any period of time, a man with for 10 years, I can't fire.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 is for sure. Not. A 30-year man feels we get sick, we have to help him. And we buried a couple of people who couldn't afford to be buried even.
Mm-hmm.
I needed money, got some money. But that we've always done.
I know, it might be a little.
Our employees are so happy, so sorry that we're gone. It's not even,
I can imagine. Probably still hear from them.
Oh, yeah. So I walk in the warehouse, my God.
Well, would you say that, of course, now we have equal employment opportunity, et cetera, but did these policies occur before they were law?
Like back in 1937.
Uh-huh. So you start from the very first.
We always have. I had a good background with black people. I never had any problems. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I got mugged a couple of years ago, and I still don't have, I still don't hate blacks.
Here in
downtown.
Pittsburgh. Oh,
Pittsburgh.
Downtown.
You're black, and because he hit me, it's not everybody's fault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not everyone's attitude.
I know that, and that's bad. You know, you see a black man with a bunch of kids, with three, four kids, well-dressed, good family name, you see that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some of the other guys that I see, and I've grabbed a kid by the arm and swing around like this, well, that bothers me.
Mm-hmm. What was the dinner like? Who was the other honoree? Do you remember?
Sure, it's back here.
Okay. Let me just... So we saw the award that was given in 1984 from the American Jewish Committee, and also the Specter Award that was given by the UJF, that's by the Federation,
right,
in 1984 also.
And the Zionists and the Yeshiva, of course, were totally about to... I guess you know that.
No, I didn't.
Oh my goodness, he was supporting it right now. It was high school thing for my mother and father, girls' high school.
Really?
How did you get involved with that, with the yeshiva?
Rabbi Rosen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Rabbi Rosen for the young, you know him?
Mm-hmm.
His son-in-law.
Yeah. His
grandson-in-law, right.
This is one sweet kid. He's a powerful boy.
Mm-hmm.